What's going on, everybody? This is Nico, and you're listening to yet another edition of your favorite podcast in the whole wide world. This is the Nico Show for Friday, February 22nd, 2019. Oh, it's been a while since I did a podcast with you, and it's been a while since I gave my point of view, and it's been a while. All right, enough of that. Hey, everybody. Friends? Peers? Colleagues? Pals? Mortal enemies? Come one, come all. Welcome to the Nico Show. It's been a while, as that song suggested. I do thank you very sincerely for being here. It's nice to see you. Thanks for coming. I will admit, this podcast has been put on the back burner lately. It's been a busy time for us at TooManyThoughtsMedia.com, and I don't get a chance to do this as much as I used to. And I also feel like I'm burning all of my good stuff on the other podcasts. All of my pop culture takes are spread across three different shows. And now Rob and I are sort of ramping up 2 cents. We do that at least once every other week. So I'm sort of stuck here with an empty podcast slot every week that I don't know what to fill with. It's crazy, man. We've been doing this for 4 years, and the fact that you're still with me means the absolute world. And I hope that I can deliver something worthy of your patronage. But I feel like I'm not picking up my end of the bargain. Sorry, folks. It's the Nico Show. Glad you're here. Glad you're with me. Let's get right into this. I realized before I started the show, I have like 2 to 3 really awesome stories that I cannot tell. I just can't tell them. It would be way too insensitive. And believe me, it is good material. This is great. I'm going to put this in a stand-up routine one day. If I ever decide to do stand-up comedy as a third or fourth fallback plan for my career, this shit is going in the stand-up set. But I realize, like, if I tell these stories, I'm probably going to offend someone in my life. And they're about very specific people and about sad circumstances, and I can't tell them. So I'm sorry. See, now, back in the day, let's say like 4 to 5 years ago, before I started doing this, and Rob and I and occasionally Danny, we're doing 2 cents under the cloak of anonymity, that sacred cloak of anonymity. Oh, boy, I would have let the floodgates open. Oh, you would have heard all about my innermost secrets and horrible thoughts. But I can't do it now because I attach my name to this shit. If you Google me, this is what comes up. And I have like family members and friends that listen. So now I have to watch what I say. I have to be on my best behavior. That's the thing about the cloak of anonymity. It's really good for podcasting. It is terrific for podcast material. It's not like good for humanity. And it's certainly not good for the internet. And I'm talking about, you know, like the people that hide behind a shroud of secrecy in order to harass women and minorities. Like, that's not cool. And I understand where some people are coming from when they say, oh, all people that have a Twitter account should be forced to give their social security number or should be forced to verify their identities. Do not hide when you say horrible things to other people. And I kind of get that, and I understand why it's toxic for this generation. But just as a podcaster who likes spilling his dirty laundry on the internet, anonymity is nice. It's really, really nice. You can just say whatever the hell you want. You can trash talk people with no consequences. And you can also, like, explore some pretty dangerous ideas, I think. That's, like, the give and take of social media and of Twitter, right? It allows people to express ideas in a public forum that would normally get them fired or that would normally tarnish their reputations without fear of any of those consequences. And I guess, like, on paper, that's a cool thing. That's a good thing. That's a useful thing. Like, if you live in communist China or in the Soviet Union or in Nazi Germany, The ability to express controversial ideas in a public forum is probably really good and just and moral. The problem is, and I guess this is the take, this is the downside of social media, is that the only people interested in exploring controversial ideas behind a shroud of secrecy are Nazis and skinheads. And they use their anonymity to harass people and bully people and make people kill themselves. So that's like a bad thing. And I guess that's the whole debate about social media, right? Like, this is the whole problem that I'm trying to put a finger on. What am I talking about? Oh, yeah. In an old life, I would have talked about these stories, but I can't today because I'm on my best behavior and I have a reputation to protect as the CEO, CFO, COO, owner, and creative director behind TooManyThoughtsMedia.com. You don't work your way up to this position of power without having some enemies and without hiding some skeletons in the closet, if you know what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. So I can't be giving my enemies ammunition to hurl against me. It's not how it's going to work. I'm tight-lipped about these stories. Maybe one day. What do we have to talk about today? Not a ton. I mean, like, really, the only stories in the news involve people doing bad things and perhaps facing jail time. We're obviously going to talk about Jesse Smollett, or Jesse Smollet, however you want to pronounce his name, because that dude has gotten into some trouble, and I have a few observations about that story. But just this morning, news broke. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, charged with 2 counts of soliciting a prostitute. Whoa. Hey, now. Here's the thing about this story, and I've only dug into it a little bit. I'll admit, I haven't really, you know, combed through the legal documentation yet. But I will say, my first reaction when I read this story was utter ambivalence. Because I don't think anybody on the planet was surprised by this, right? I certainly can't be alone. No one's surprised by this story. If anybody watched Robert Kraft twerking with Cardi B backstage at the Super Bowl, this story should come as no shock. He's a pervy old man with a lot of money and also a wife. So, like, he can't be going out to the club just picking up broads. The dude's got to be subtle about this. And apparently, if a billionaire wants to get laid in America in 2019, what does he do? He drives to a local massage parlor in Florida. And this is my favorite part of the whole story. I'm reading this off of Twitter. Evidently, Adam Schefter just reported this. And by the way, Adam Schefter having an incredible offseason so far. This is what America's premier NFL reporter is taking to the airwaves to talk about in February. Incredible stuff. Again, I'm reading this off of Twitter. Quote, Adam Schefter just said on SportsCenter that a source told him Kraft is not the biggest name caught up in this sting. Oh my goodness. What an incredible game of who's who. What an incredible guessing game Adam Schefter just sent us out on. Which NFL billionaire or pro athlete or other smelly old man has been detained as a result of a massage parlor sting? Robert Kraft. Again, no one should be shocked by this. And also, by the way, and look, man, I'm not going to get all libertarian on your ass. I'm not going to go out and start advocating for legalizing prostitution. It's not my jam. I'll let all the nut jobs on the internet do that work for me. Here's all I'll say. I've been to a massage parlor once in my life. It was not the most elegant of establishments. It was a bit sketchy, and I didn't ask any questions, but I assumed that some nefarious transactions were taking place behind the scenes. Again, I didn't ask any questions, nor did I participate in any of these nefarious actions. However, this criminal enterprise, quote unquote, that was just exposed in Florida is, I think, a little more common than we all would like to admit. And I'm just saying that some people out there online and some grown-ass men out there berating Patriots owner Robert Kraft probably shouldn't be throwing stones in their glass houses. That's all I'll say on the matter. Okay? I hate Robert Kraft and the Patriots organization as much as the next guy, and I will take any opportunity within my means to take shots at them and to laugh at their expense. But come on, bro. A couple hand jobs at a massage parlor. A good happy ending for Robert Kraft. Who's outraged by this? Who's outraged? Besides the Mormon community, who is outraged by Robert Kraft getting his dick sucked at Madame Butterfly's massage parlor? I'm certainly not. Oh, boy. Yet another set of balls deflated by the Patriots organization. When will they learn? I'm sorry, Patriots fans. R. Kelly, I guess, is going behind bars, too. Or at least he's been charged with something. I don't know what these charges are. Congratulations to the Twitter mafia for finally bringing R. Kelly to justice. You've only slept on these allegations for the past 15 to 20 years. That's great. Yeah. All it takes is one Lifetime documentary series. If only we had known that that's how the justice system is supposed to work in this country. Get away with sexual assault for 15 years, and then they make a show that gets a bunch of soccer moms upset. And finally, he's brought to justice. Fuck R. Kelly. All right, let's talk about Smollett, shall we? Or Smollett. I'm going to go with Smollett. I said this on the podcast the other day. I said this on Cultured. I have never pronounced E.T. at the end of a word as et and not a. I don't say buffet unless it's in reference to Warren. Bouquet, croquet, no, it's Smollett as far as I'm concerned. So Jesse Smollett, wait a minute. Hang on just a second. Am I reading this right? Holy shit, am I reading this right? Is his name Jussie Smollett? With a U? Is this a typo? I'm looking on Twitter right now. J-U-S-S-I-E. Jussie. It sounds like Jesse. Can you make the distinction in my voice? Jesse. Whoa. Well, this is a game changer. I thought I was talking about Jesse Smollett, and now I'm talking about Jussie Smollett. I'll try to soldier on anyway. Look, man, if you've been living under a rock, here's the story. So a few weeks ago, this dude from Empire, Jussie Smollett, gets jumped in the middle of Chicago at like 2 in the morning by some guys that were wearing Make America Great Again hats and shouting, "This is MAGA country," as they beat up this dude, poured some sort of substance on his head, and wrapped a rope around his neck. And this makes headline news, and politicians and the media rush to the defense of Jussie Smollett. And then a few weeks goes by, and the police begin to investigate, and the internet sleuths do what the internet sleuths always do, which is form conspiracy theories. And so this conspiracy starts popping up on a bunch of right-wing blogs saying that Jussie Smollett indeed faked his attack and that he paid off a bunch of dudes to pretend to jump him in the middle of Chicago in order to avoid getting written off of empire and perhaps getting a significant pay raise. So at first, the conspiracy theory is treated as such. Not much mind is paid to it. The media doesn't report it. The internet errs on the side of belief for Jussie Smollett. But as a few days go by, it starts becoming clear. Some details aren't adding up. Why were there two MAGA people perusing the streets of Chicago at 2 a.m. in a neighborhood that was predominantly African American? Why would these two assailants have a rope handy to tie around the Empire Star's neck? And as Trevor Noah eloquently put on The Daily Show this week, why are two MAGA people in the middle of Chicago who hate gays and hate African Americans watching Empire week to week? What the hell is that about? That isn't exactly the key demo for Cookie and Lucius Lyon. I think the overlap on that of people that watch Empire and people that voted for Donald Trump is exactly zero. So the pieces weren't adding up, and now, well, it appears that the Chicago Police Department has reached a definitive conclusion. Jussie Smollett indeed paid two fellow actors who both appeared as background characters on Empire to stage this attack. As he was on the phone with his agent, these two guys went up to Jussie, beat him up, or at least pretended to beat him up, pretended to tie the rope around his neck, and Jussie ran wild with the story. And so now, what began as an effort to keep his job as a cast member of Empire and to keep a steady stream of income, he has now written his way right out of Empire with his own behind-the-scenes drama. So ironic. All right, let's break this down here. Let's break this down. First of all, I want to be very clear about something. It is okay to laugh at Jussie Smollett. It is okay to laugh. He is the bad guy. And if you have any reservations about him being a bad guy, understand this. In Chicago, police work is really hard. There's a lot of crime and a lot of violence and a lot of people in need of police assistance. And as the police chief of the Chicago PD said very eloquently a few days ago at a press conference, Jussie Smollett took thousands upon thousands of dollars of police resources and, frankly, several hundreds of hours of manpower on a bogus story to bolster his public profile. That's really bad. That's bad stuff. If you care about the city of Chicago and you care about its residents and you care about the quality of life for those in inner cities, you would never do something like this. You would never suck dry the resources keeping these people safe. But the truth of the matter is, Jussie Smollett doesn't care about those people because he's a Hollywood actor. As much as he goes on and on about his lack of privilege and about his oppression and about his victimhood, he's a D-list star looking to be a B-list star. And that is where his priorities begin and end. So I feel no sympathy for this guy. Are you kidding? Are you kidding, social media? Seriously? You're going to defend this dude? Well, he was only doing it to bring attention to the real hate crimes that occur on a daily basis. Fuck you. Jussie Smollett exploited America's racial tensions. Exploited a soft spot of American culture. We have never been this divided across cultural lines, across political lines, and frankly, across racial lines in 20 to 30 years. This is the worst it's been. And people are angry about it, and people are fearful, and people are looking for a story like this to latch onto. There were many buyers interested in what Jussie Smollett was selling. Folks, Jussie Smollett and others like him are not interested in healing old wounds. They are not interested in bridging divides. They're interested in fanning those flames, making them worse, and exploiting them for their own gain. I don't feel bad for this guy, nor should you. And yes, you are allowed to laugh at him till the cows come home. Cackle away, my friends. Cackle away. This dude's a monster. So he fakes this story and draws resources from the Chicago Police Department. Sends everyone on a wild goose chase. And in some ways, he also undermines the real victims of hate crime, undermines their stories, makes those stories look illegitimate. And in my opinion, one of his worst offenses is fanning the flames of racial tension and prolonging a narrative that's only sending us back to the Stone Ages. It's dangerous stuff this guy's doing. But the real question is, and this seems to be a point of view expressed by the right-wing media and others, at least on the center left, is that this is the media's fault. That if this story was given the media scrutiny that it deserved, this incident would have never happened. We would have never been bamboozled by this con artist. Jussie is the principal offender, but he was aided and abetted by his friends in the left-wing media. So let me address this point. And I'm actually kind of conflicted about it. Because on one hand, I found that Robin Roberts interview to be journalistic malpractice. There's no skirting around it. That was a bad look for Good Morning America. That was a bad interview. Robin Roberts conducts this interview with Jussie just as the conspiracies, we'll call them, were beginning to pop up online. And rather than address the holes in his story head on, Robin Roberts sends up a bunch of softballs. Does not ask any specific questions about the case, allows Jussie to really dictate the terms of the interview. She gushes about him, pays him a bunch of compliments. It's a bad look. It's a really bad look. And I think, like, if there is any instance of left-wing bias within the media that we've seen during this story, it's Robin Roberts, and to a certain extent, it's Don Lemon, who has been defending this guy all week. So, on one hand, yes, I think there are individual, I won't even call them journalists. There are individual television personalities that allowed this shit to take on a life that it should have never taken on. That being said, I'm not sure what the alternative was. I'm not sure what these guys could have done differently. And I'm just talking like local news stations and the New York Times and the Washington Post, NBC News, like CBS, what could they have done specifically in the handling of this story at its infancy that would have changed the outcome? Like, are you supposed to not report the story? Or are you supposed to report it with a skeptical eye? Like, what should they have done beyond making the narrative about the evilness of Trump supporters? Like, I understand that. I understand not wanting the media to paint with that broad a brush. That's what happens when media outlets look for narrative. And that's what we all do, right? When we tell a story, we're always looking for narrative. We're always looking for something larger to say. And journalistic organizations too often report stories and then take an extra step and try to say something larger about our human experience. And that's a dangerous game to play. It's a dangerous game when you don't just stick to the facts. So I get that on a sort of abstract level. But what news organization in the country wants to be on the wrong side of this? Like, could you imagine, let's say Fox News, because Fox News also reported on this story early on. What if Fox News decides, Jussie Smollett, not high profile enough, not the type of story we're really interested in. Let's just not report it. Or let's like tag it in the last 5 minutes of the news broadcast. Let's make it a cliff note. Maybe we'll just run it on the ticker at the bottom of the screen and people will make of it what they will. There would have been an outcry, right? There would have been an outcry. High profile Hollywood actor, gay, black, victim of a hate crime. You're not going to report that story? Or you're going to report that story but remain skeptical about its truthfulness? Think about how many advertisers would have dropped out of Fox News. Like, think about that. Think about what that looks like. I don't think there's a single journalistic organization, with the exception of InfoWars, that would have been on the right side of this story. It's a lose-lose for them. It's an absolute lose-lose. If you don't report it, you're accused of bias. If you do report it, but with a particular slant, you're accused of bias. You have to report the story, and unfortunately, this is what happens when people file false police reports. Everyone looks like a fool. Everyone looks like a bunch of chickens running around with their heads cut off. I do not blame the media for their handling of this. You have to report it. And unfortunately, when the development comes out that he indeed faked it, they're not the only ones that look like the fools. The police department was fooled. Politicians were fooled. Social media was fooled. The executives at the Fox Network were fooled. You have to just report the facts and live with the backlash. So I don't blame the media as much. I think, listen, there were several individual instances of mishandling and malpractice. There were, and those people deserve all of the criticism. I don't think this is a story about media bias. I think this is a story about a particular individual exploiting our preconceptions about race in America and using it to his own gain. And that's bad stuff. So at the risk of doing what the mainstream media just did a few days ago, I'm going to attempt to find a narrative. Here's my narrative. Be careful of narratives. Steer clear of narratives. Avoid narratives. They're dangerous. We live in complicated times with complicated people. Things get messy. And it is best not to reach a larger conclusion about life based on one individual circumstance, because you never know the full story. You are never privy to as much details as those involved. And to sit at home and to tweet about it, or to be on television and comment about it, as though you were there and as though you know the full story, you are bound to get bit in the ass. Wait for information to come out. I'm so glad I didn't comment on this right away. I really am. I felt the same way about the Covington thing. And I talked about this a few weeks ago. Thank God I didn't send out an impulsive tweet about the Covington kids or about Jussie Smollett. Thank God. God, I didn't do a podcast about either of those topics before the facts were revealed. You have to wait and see, man. You have to wait and see. This is what happens when you leave justice to the mob. The mob never has all the facts. The mob don't know shit. And although our justice system is imperfect, although people slip through the cracks, although justice is sometimes never served, the truth of the matter is, it's the best system we got. It's the best we can do. When something like this happens, you investigate it, you allow the police to collect evidence, and you hold a free and impartial trial in a court of law. And then you make judgments later. You cast aspersions and you dole out punishments after the fact. But that's not the world that we live in. And it's unfortunate. It is unfortunate that we live in this hyper-connected world in which everybody's always tweeting their opinions right away, jumping to judgment before given the full story, painting certain people as heroes and certain people as villains preemptively. We're even doing it right now. It's still too early. I mean, who knows? There might be another twist in this story. What if Jussie Smollett looks totally innocent? What if he is found innocent of all charges? What then? It's crazy. It's crazy. I know. I am part of the problem, not part of the solution. But I will urge you, be cautious of narratives. Don't ascribe narratives to something that you don't understand. We live in a crazy, chaotic, random world, and people are capable of some bad things sometimes. But it's important to leave the rest of us out of it. And also know your facts. God damn it. Know your facts first. That's Jussie Smollett. Laugh at him all you want. Make your memes. Make your jokes. I'm cool with all of it. This guy's terrible. All right. So here's the deal. I got nothing else to talk about, but I had this idea. Because again, I'm just running on empty. I do these podcasts all week and I give you radio gold. I'm giving you guys pearls, as Al Pacino said in Scent of a Woman. Pearls, kid, pearls. And so all week I grind. I just pump out these takes on cultured and why is this a thing and movie hopping and 2 cents radio. And you eat them up with a silver spoon. But now here I am on the Nico Show. I got no more content for you, but I still need to remain fresh. Because that's what I do, man. I'm a multi-talented podcast personality, online broadcaster. You know what I mean? Got to keep the engines turning. Got to grease the gears of this brain. It's my bread and butter here. So here's my idea. I pulled up online a random topic generator that we're going to call for our purposes the Takeatron 4000. The Takeatron 4000. This machine, designed by NASA, is going to tabulate a specific topic that it feels like I would be able to give an interesting take on. I don't know what's going to come up from the Takeatron 4000. That is a secret for Takeatron himself and the NASA engineers that designed him. All right? So I'm just going to fire it up. Out will come a topic, and I will do my absolute best because, again, I'm a multi-talented podcast personality. I will do my damnedest to give you an interesting take or particular insight on the matter. Consider this some practice reps. You know, basketball players go to shoot arounds. Golfers go to the driving range. Quarterbacks, they practice stuff in drills. Takeatron 4000. That's what's going to keep this baby fresh. So here we go. Let's fire it up. Here's the Takeatron. There he is. Takeatron is hard at work. All right. What is he churning out for us first? First topic from the Takeatron 4000. Blacksmiths. Oh, Takeatron. You silly goofs. Here's the thing about blacksmiths. I've heard about this profession since I was like 5 years old. I've always known about blacksmiths. But I don't think I've ever seen a blacksmith. I don't know what they look like. I imagine that they're probably covered in soot They wear an apron. They probably have beards. I don't know if there are female blacksmiths. I imagine there are. But I don't think there's ever been a profession that is so talked about yet rarely seen. And I imagine, like, blacksmiths must still exist, right? People still have locks on their doors and keys to open them. So although it's probably not a booming industry, it's probably still a fairly profitable one. So there's got to be blacksmiths out there. What do you look like? What are you about? What are you into? How do you do your hair? What's your family like life? Are you good in bed? Are you cat people or dog people? What do you talk about at the bar? Smelting conventions? Like, what are blacksmiths all about? If they still exist, do you hang out? What's like the most controversial part of the blacksmith trade? Are y'all like pissed off at the Ring doorbell? Like, what's your deal, black? If there's a blacksmith out there, my God, would I love to talk to you. I would have a 2-hour interview with you on this podcast. I would love to find out more because most people find your profession to be a laughingstock, right? At least the Takatron 4000 thinks that way. I don't think that way. I imagine that blacksmiths are a noble profession. But Takatron 4000, you know, he likes to throw some curveballs at me. I could sort of read between the lines. People don't take you seriously. They think that you belong at the Renaissance Fair. And they imagine that you're just some old burly dude with a hammer and a vat of mercury. And you're welding away at keys. What do you look like? If you're good looking, like, are you well kept? Are you clean? What does a blacksmith shop look like? And is it possible? And I know this may be possible. I don't know, but I imagine it's possible that blacksmiths are now extinct. I think it's possible. And that it's just for, like, the hipsters in the middle of Colorado who do blacksmithing ironically. It's like the people that have ham radios. These are the people with blacksmith equipment in their garages, and they make keys all day. I know so little about them. I wish I could say more. That's my take. What the hell does a blacksmith do? All right, here we go. Takatron 4000. Good one, Takatron. What do we got next? It's powering up. I didn't know Takatron was still hooked up to AOL. Dial-up internet for the Takatron. Veterinarians! Oh, wow. We're just coming for all the noble professions today, huh? Veterinarians call themselves doctors, right? If I meet a veterinarian, do I have to address them as Dr. So-and-so? Like, I know Dr. Doolittle was a thing, but we laughed at that because he wasn't actually a doctor. He just took care of animals. What is the training to become a veterinarian? Do you need a license? And are you, like, you know, are you, have you gone through as rigorous a process as someone with a full-on PhD? Are you like a brain surgeon? Are you qualified to operate on my cranium? Listen, I'm a big fan of doctors, or I should say a big fan of professions that exude the air of doctordom without actually being doctors. And you know what I'm talking about. And I mean no offense to all the veterinarians out there. I'm sure there are very few dumb veterinarians. But, like, if you're a dentist or if you're a veterinarian, you get all this credit for being a doctor. But let's be honest, you're not in the ER taking care of gunshot victims. You're not the guy that they call in to the operating room, you know, when the other doctor passes out. You're not the guy coming in for an emergency. You probably couldn't deliver a baby in a barn somewhere. You know, there are some doctors who are just superheroes. It's sort of similar to the way that the military operates. If you're a soldier, I know Bill Burr has a bit about this. I don't want to steal Bill Burr's bit. I kind of am. But if you're like in the military, you get credit for being a war hero no matter what your occupation. Like, there are plenty of military people that sit on their ass all day in libraries or that work in the mess hall. Or you know, maybe they're engineers. And again, thank you for your service. But they get to walk around with the camouflage uniforms. And, you know, they get benefits at the VFW without ever serving in combat. And I feel like there's a similar thing going on with doctors. I imagine that there are really, really good doctors. And I'm talking about open heart surgeons and brain surgeons. And again, the dudes that heal the people with gunshot wounds. I imagine those are the serious doctors. And when they go to like doctor cocktail parties, they look down on the dentists and the veterinarians. They scoff at them and they say, oh, that's not really what we're about. I went to 8 years of medical school and I have a bunch of fancy diplomas on my wall because I'm saving goddamn lives. And you get just as much credit. You get the label of doctor because you fixed Fido's splinter in his foot. You took care of Mr. Truffles when he had a cold. Like, that don't count, man. There's levels to this shit. I almost feel like there should be different titles. Like, in the military, there are different titles. Lieutenant and colonel and private and all this shit. Depending on how good you are at your job and how well you served, there are purple hearts, etc., etc. There's not really that in the doctor world. You're just doctor across the board. And I feel like we have to get a little more specific because there are some, I don't know, there are some snake oil salesmen hiding in the weeds. You're a chiropractor. You're a foot doctor. All you really do is prescribe Dr. Scholl's. Not all doctors are created equal. And I would consider veterinarians, although a noble profession, I don't mean to insult them or blacksmiths on today's podcast. I imagine that they're not really all that. Thanks, Takatron 5000. I have now alienated two noble professions. Can you give me a third, please? I would really like a third. Let's fire up Takatron 4000. All right, I just got dentistry, so I'm going to do this again. Damn it, Takatron. All right, here we go. Takatron gives me fairy boats. Fairy boats. You know what the greatest moment of my life was? One of the 5 to 10 greatest moments of my life. When I found out that people could drive cars on boats. This was a formative moment in my life. I was truly blown away by this because I had always heard that, you know, a ferry would take you to an island. Long Island often requires you to get there by ferry. And being from Connecticut, I'm well familiar with Long Island. Right, and I'm well familiar with the Long Island Ferry. But I did not know that you don't have to get out of your car in order to buy a ticket for the ferry and to hop on. You can literally just drive your car onto it, which is incredible because you hear the word ferry and it sort of comes with it a prissy connotation. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Oh, it's a ferry. Oh, look at the little ferry boat. You think it's like 5 people with a little sail on the top when you picture ferry. You imagine that's what the cast of Gilligan's Island got shipwrecked on. Oh, it's a little ferry. But then you see these things, and they're these massive ships that you could just drive your car onto and enjoy the ride. It's incredible stuff. I just found this out like 5 years ago. My father had to go make a delivery. He works with cabinets, and he had to make a delivery on Long Island, in the Hamptons, as a matter of fact. And he's telling me, oh, yeah, I drove on to the ferry and took the ferry ride. It was about a half hour. And I went, what? That's a thing you can do? You can just drive on and it'll cart you over there at your whim? Underrated ferry boats. Very underrated. Thank you, Takatron 5000 or 4000 or whatever the hell your name is, for giving me something positive to talk about. Now give me something else, please. Why don't you? All right. I'm also going to I'm gonna skip over socialism. Just to let you know, I have gotten two topics that I did not feel comfortable talking about. One is socialism for the obvious reasons, and the other is the Red Cross, because nothing I could possibly say about the Red Cross would not endanger me in terms of my future employment. So we're going to go with pipe organs. How about that? I'm not a huge fan of pipe organs, and not because they remind me of church. Like, I know a lot of people feel that way. I'm not Catholic. I didn't grow up Catholic, so I never spent a lot of time in Catholic churches. The only time I've ever been to Catholic church is for funerals, and those services always catch me off guard. They do. I hate to admit it. When I go to Catholic church and I attend a mass and those people are up there, there's the old lady playing the organ and the priest is singing about God and stuff, and everybody's joining in with hymns, I always crack a smile. And I it's crazy. Like, if you grow up in it, it just seems normal. And I'm sure, like, my church experience, I grew up Protestant, my church experience would probably look unusual to someone that didn't experience it growing up as well. But it's just interesting. I didn't spend any time with Catholic churches until I grew older. And it all just came across as very cult-like and very strange. The incense, the smoke, the hymns, the kneeling on the little pedestal to pray, all kind of freaked me out. Not really into the pipe organ. I'll tell you what I'm into. I'm going to parlay this into a conversation about an instrument that I like. I enjoy the accordion. I really enjoy the accordion. The accordion and the bagpipe are two instruments with sort of an old school sound. Some might call it an outdated sound, and you would be correct. I find the organ to be not as satisfying as the sound of an accordion or a bagpipe. Those things sound big. It's like, how is that much sound coming out of that little instrument? It's nuts. Look at an accordion player. I actually wish that there were more accordion street musicians in New York City and Boston. Like, I wish I could walk down the street and just watch, because I would tip that guy like $5. I would sit there forever and listen to him play the old squeeze box. I just love that sound. It has such like a girthy noise to it. There's so many, it's like a whole orchestra just in one little thing that you squeeze. And it's also incredibly satisfying. I had one of those like toy accordions as a child. It was like my favorite toy. You squeeze that thing. It's incredible. Incredible sound. Who's the best accordion player? Let me look this up. I want to look up some accordion music. Listen to this. This is okay, this is Crazy Accordion Trio. Gotta listen to this stuff. This is, I just stumbled on it on YouTube. These are three accordion players. And now you tell me that this is not the most satisfying sound you've ever heard. I also love the structure of the instrument too. That you have like a little mini piano on it. Sometimes two mini pianos. It's just funny. It's the funniest instrument. It's like 1,000 violins, isn't it? I love that. I love that. See, the orchestra, whatchamacallit, the organ doesn't really do it for me. Not really into it. Bagpipe, same thing. I was walking around Boston a few years ago. I remember this. It was a 9/11 tribute. I think it was either on 9/11 or 9/10. And I just stumbled upon a group of like five bagpipe players. I was just walking around and like the siren call to Odysseus, I heard some Irish bagpipe music and some men in kilts. It was just incredible. I love that sound. It's just, it's of another world. And I just love that sort of music. People playing music that just has no business in today's landscape. I love it. All right, here we go. One more. Give me a good one here, Takatron 4000. Bring this bad boy home. Here we go again with the broadband internet connection. Takatron! What do you got for us today? Oh, boy. Prisons. Prisons is the topic of our final take. All right, don't take this the wrong way. Please. Please don't take this the wrong way. I find myself daydreaming about prison all the time. All the time. It's one of just my fantasies. And I don't mean that like in a good way. Not like a sexual thing. It's just something I always think about. Similar to like how I always think about how I'm going to die. Or just like death in general and bodily harm. I just think like, what would it be like if I got shot in the leg? What would it be like if my head got chopped off and my neurons were firing off for a few seconds? What would the pain feel like? What would it be like to give childbirth? Like, I just think about like weird shit like that because, I don't know, it relaxes me for some reason because I'm a psycho. But prison is another one of those things that I always think about. Because there are times in my life where prison seems like the most relaxing experience in the world. I'm not joking. Seriously, I know it's bad. I get it. I actually know people that have been to prison and they didn't enjoy it. And I understand why they didn't enjoy it. Because, you know, it's a bunch of hard-boiled thugs threatening to butt rape you in the shower every day. It's not a great experience, I imagine. However, do you ever just like feel so swamped by work or so overwhelmed by life? And you always feel like there's so many distractions. You know, I'll put it this way. I spend most of my life connected to things. I spend most of my life on social media, promoting this brand, giving thoughts on things, keeping up on the news, remaining in contact with people. And there are some days, although I'm unemployed, where I feel totally swamped by the world. And I just want to go somewhere where none of this matters anymore. And the beautiful thing about prison is that it's its own little world where you have no responsibilities. It's survival of the fittest, sure, but it's sort of the same feeling that you have in barbarian times. Your only responsibility is to find food, stay alive, and assert your dominance. And although I would be bad at all three of those things, it's kind of nice to not have the weight of the world on your shoulders for a little while. And then I think to myself, how much shit could I get done if I was in prison? Like, I was struggling to keep up on all the Oscar nominations this week. I'm doing this little piece for the website this weekend of all of the movies that I saw in 2018. And I was like, oh, shit, I didn't see If Beale Street Could Talk. I didn't see Free Solo. I gotta catch up, you know? I got to make sure that my readers and listeners are well informed. And I feel like if I was in prison, could you imagine how many classic movies I would have seen by now? all the great literature that I would have read. I would have memorized Socrates' entire manuscripts cover to cover. I would know everything there is to know about Western and Eastern philosophy. I would read up on art history. I would know the life story of Monet. I'd learn 3 languages. I'd learn how to fucking solve a Rubik's Cube, shuffle a deck of cards properly, learn some magic tricks, play an instrument. Think about that. The amount of time. There's something to be said for free time. And when you have no other options. See, right now, my life could be better. It could be. If I decided to make it better, there are ways of achieving greater success and living a more fulfilled lifestyle. And the fact that I'm not living that better life oftentimes gives me anxiety. Aren't I writing more? Why aren't I doing more podcasts? Why don't I have a larger audience? Why don't I have a job? But in prison, there's nowhere to go but up. You're already at the bottom. There's no regret other than getting to prison in the first place. But once you're there, you're there. And you might as well make the best out of it. And you do that by just learning a bunch of shit and reading a bunch of shit. My God, I would be fluent in Mandarin front to back, man. I could do calligraphy for y'all if I was in prison. I'm not saying I want to go to prison. I'm not saying that. And I don't mean to undermine the experience of those that have been to prison. And I'm sure it would be quick to set the record straight for me. I also know one of my relatives is a correctional officer, spends times in prison, but spends all of his work days behind bars in prison, taking care of inmates. And I'm sure he would be like, yeah, you don't want to go in there. And I understand you don't want to go in there, but just imagine what you could do with all that free time. It's actually quite relaxing. You know, maybe I should just go to like a cabin in New Hampshire. just turn off the phone, lock myself in a room, and the same mission would be achieved. I don't know what I'm talking about. Now that everybody has been sufficiently pissed off, that has been another edition of the Nico Show. We got to play this game again sometime. This kept me fresh and loose. This was good. Got to get those reps in. When you're giving takes, just nothing but gold 24/7 on this damn website. Every once in a while, you need a little bit of a tune-up. Got to protect this beautiful brain and this beautiful mouth. folks, I love you. Thank you for being here. I appreciate, again, you listening however often I do this. I'm going to try to do it more often. I can't necessarily say every week because, again, there's not always stuff to talk about every week. But every 2 to 3 weeks, I think is fine with me and I hope is fine with you. So, again, if you are dying to hear more of my voice, I encourage you to go to the website tmt.media or toomanythoughtsmedia.com and subscribe to each and every one of our podcasts. There's a master feed available right on the homepage, on the sidebar. You'll see subscribe on Apple Podcasts, subscribe on Google, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. We are available wherever you get your podcasts. So if you subscribe to that feed, that takes care of you. For the rest, you'll get every episode of Why Is This a Thing, our bad movie podcast, Movie Hopping, Cultured, 2 Cents Radio. They're all available right there. Oscars are this weekend. Check out all of the exciting Oscar content we have on the site, including my Cultured Oscar preview. I give out my entire Oscar ballot, not necessarily who I want to win each major award, but who I think is going to win. You can find those picks on the website, the latest edition of Cultured. On Why Is This a Thing, we continue documentary month with a documentary about porn, seriously, but we also give our predictions for this year's Razzie Awards, the anti-Oscars, the movies that don't deserve critical adulation will take home the Razzie Awards. We give our picks in each of those major categories on Why Is This a Thing. And then on Movie Hopping, Adam and I break down all 8 Best Picture nominees in excruciating detail. And we also offer up our slate of Best Picture nominees. If we were in charge of the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences, what would we nominate? So check that out as well. Movie Hopping on the site. I love you. Follow us at @TMT_media on Twitter and email us toomanythoughtsmedia@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram. We're also on Facebook. We're everywhere. Just find us. Say hey. And we'll say hey back because we love each and every one of you so very, very much. So, folks, until next time, you know I love you. And you know I want you to tune in because next week, yeah, for real this time, you will finally hear the story of Lord Steve. See you then.